ain't the kind to wear a tie. Button up from 9 to 5. I tried that life but said goodbye. I'm not always polite, but I get the job done. Who says that work can never be fun? I'm simply unprofessional.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Simply Unprofessional. I am your host, Webby, and joining me tonight, we got Devin.
Hey, everybody. I'm here.
That's it. Just me and Devin hanging out, shooting the shit, and we decided we'd turn on our little audio recorders and we would do a Wonder Woman review because we haven't done one yet. Been out for weeks now. I've had a few people asking, hey, you guys usually do comic book movie reviews. How come you haven't done a Wonder Woman one yet? That one was on me. I just recently got to see this movie. Overall, let's just start. Overall, Devin, what did you think?
Fantastic movie. Thought it was great. Definitely... I would have to agree with you. We talked off of, off recording. Second best DC movie behind Dark Knight. And if you're going current continuity DC movie, it's the best one so far.
Okay. Now, where would you rank it if you were to put overall comic book movies? So both Marvel and DC.
It's top 10 for sure. I don't know where exactly. I have to sit down and actually hard think about it.
But you would give it a top 10, not like a top 5?
It's top 10 for me.
All right. Yeah, I'd probably say that I could comfortably throw it into the top 10 slot. I honestly don't think it would make a top 5 slot for me. I'm pretty sure a bunch of Marvel movies makes my top 5. So, not saying it's a bad movie by any stretch of the imagination. It is definitely, like Devin said, in my opinion, it's the second best DC movie made so far, right behind Dark Knight. And if you're going to go with the current continuity, like he said, it's so far the best.
And I'm not going to lie, it's lower ranking on the list instead of being on the higher top 5, top 3. It might have something to do with just that whole world in general. I love Wonder Woman, but I know it's prefaced by a heavy coating of shit prior. So, you can wipe the shit away, the smell still is kind of there.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that's one reason why it took me a while to work up to seeing this movie finally. We had discussed previously when we talked about all of the various movies coming out in 2017, and we talked about how this particular movie, if it came out and did well, is probably going to be the only thing that literally is going to have to carry the Justice League movie. A lot of us did agree that if we saw this movie and it sucked, not going to see the Justice League. Not even going to bother. I'll wait until it's on Netflix. Sadly, I mean, no hate for Justice League, no hate for DC. This movie was good enough where I might justify actually seeing the Justice League movie while it's in the theater. Maybe. Still not sold on the Flash that they have set out. That's my own personal bias.
I agree.
I'm still set on, CW's Flash, Grant Gustin, and all of that. And I don't know. Aquaman movie looks... I don't know. It just It's DC.
It looks eh.
But let's get into the plot a little bit about this movie, like we do with all of our reviews. Major spoiler alerts ahead, folks. We legitimately break down the movie, and we talk about a little bit of, you know, we piecemeal what we can remember, obviously. And we discuss throughout the, you know, throughout the podcast of the various parts of the movies. So if you haven't seen the movie, press pause. We'll wait. Go see the movie.
And come on back.
And come back and hit play again. So go do that. We'll wait. Welcome back. So, starts off, Diana Prince in present day Paris. Was that her residence, or was that like her place of employment? Like, she had a lot of artifacts around her. Like,
place of employment. She's a
museum
curator. She's a curator or like an appraiser or something like that, yeah.
Okay. Well, she receives a briefcase from couriered by Wayne Enterprises, and when she opens it up, it is a World War I era photograph. I believe the note said that he found the original, and it wouldn't be hard to find, or something else, or whatever.
I believe the exact note was he found the original, and then something to the effect of he would love to hear the story sometime.
Right. So she looks over this, and then she starts thinking about the past, essentially. So you have like this flashback moment. The whole movie is essentially a flashback. And then you get to see Diana as a kid on Themyscira, which is the home island of the Amazons. And the Amazons on Themyscira are a race of warrior women that were essentially or supposedly created by the gods on Mount Olympus. That's the story that's told down generation by generation. And then, what is it? Like, she's sitting there watching all of them train, and then she really wants to train. Ever since she was a kid, she just wants to be able to defend the island and defend herself, and her mom's completely opposed to it. But the general lady, I'm going to get her name wrong.
Artemis?
No.
Artemis?
Antiope?
Mm.
I believe was the general. And she thought Diana training would be good for her. And so Queen Hip... I'm going to butcher all these fucking names because they're all like weird...
Hippolyta,
thank you.
Gotcha.
She starts telling her the story of where they came from, this big war, how Zeus created man, and then Ares corrupted man. And eventually man pretty much fought themselves. And so it paints a bad light for Ares. Right off the bat, Ares, god of war, apparently real bad dude, and all of the gods on Olympus went after him because he was defiant, and he won by one, started eliminating all the gods on Olympus, and then Zeus finally used all of his powers to give Ares a wound to make him retreat. So Zeus granted the Amazons what was known as the God Killer. So that if Ares did return one day, this weapon could be used to essentially kill Ares. And that was... Zeus did that with the remaining of his power? Was that how...
I believe so. I believe it was the remaining of his power, yes.
Okay. So... you're led to believe that this God Killer is this sword that they show you at the beginning. Because then it speeds up time a little bit. This General Antiope trains Diana as she's growing up. First in secret behind the queen's back, and then finally the queen reluctantly agrees that, all right, you can train her as long as you train her so fucking hard, harder than any of the other Amazons. Do not go easy on her until she's as good as the general. And then finally the day comes, she's taking on all comers, she's throwing shit at the archers, right? This big training montage is happening. Finally, the general steps up, and her and Diana go, and they're fighting, they're sword fighting, and Diana looks to her mother for approval, because she's doing good, and then the general just kind of, like, knocks her sword out of her hand, says, don't take your eyes off your enemy, and starts getting, like, really laying into her, and goes for a single blow on Diana, but Diana blocks it with her bracers, you know, Wonder Woman bracers. And then this big explosion of energy gets released. Knocks the general back, so on and so forth. And everybody looks really worried. First off, what was that all about? Do you happen to know?
Wait, everybody getting worried?
What?
What, everybody getting worried? Or
no,
everybody...
Just the weird explosion that comes out of her bracers. Like, does that ever happen in the comics?
That's I think they added... Well, okay. Actually, I believe that was a case at one point in the comics where she crossed her bracers. It created, like, a force field area around her at one point.
All right.
It wasn't that dramatic. Right. That was something they added for the movie. But I think at one point in the comics she crossed her bracers, they did make, like, a force bubble in front of her.
Right. So, in the movies, is that just to signify that she's unique and powerful over these other Amazon women?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I would assume.
So in any case, so she goes and she runs off. All these other Amazons are staring at her like she's got eight heads like a Hydra. And so she walks off. She goes to the beach. Then all of a sudden she hears a plane, and in Themyscira, the sky is always blue, except at night, obviously. And she all of a sudden hears this plane, and it just shows up out of nowhere. Like, it came from outside the bubble, inside the little bubble. And then that's where you get Captain Steve Trevor, who's the pilot of this plane. Now, he crashes, she saves him, pulls his ass out of the water, and then as they're kind of staring at each other on the beach, here comes all of these German soldiers on ships, and then a big fight happens at the beach. And Amazons are flying off the cliffs, shooting people with bows and arrows, and then you find out bullets can kill Amazons, because, well, it's a bullet. And Amazons aren't impervious to bullets.
That they're not.
Now, neither is Diana, correct?
Nope, Wonder Woman is not. She can be shot. That's why the whole point of her bracelets exist. Right. Piercing weapons.
Piercing her thing. Right.
Yep, piercing weapons damage her.
Okay. So Steve Trevor ends up, the big fight happens, and I think it's actually the general at the end of the beach takes a shot and saves Diana from getting hit. And she,
mm-hmm.
she ends up dying from that, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they wrap up Steve Trevor in the Lasso of Truth, which they called it something else. I don't remember. The Lasso of Hestia.
Yes, that sounds right.
And Steve reveals that he's a spy and that there's a war to end all wars. And that's when you get to, he mentions the Ludendorff guy, who's your potentially your main bad guy. And then his doctor or chemist, Isabel Maru, or Dr. Poison, I think they called her, right?
Dr. Poison, yep.
So you're led to believe that these are the two main bad guys in the movie.
Yep, and the whole time while he's talking about the war, the end-all wars, Diana's getting really excited because she's saying, you know, it has to be Ares, it has to be... She's getting very excited.
Yep, and Hippolyta's less excited. So, some interactions happen. There's a scene, he's taking a bath in some, like, weird phosphorescent water, and Diana walks in, and then they start talking about a watch, but they allude to a penis. It's really fucked up. In any case, Diana doesn't know what a watch is, and then there was the scene, this one got me, there was a scene where she jumped to that tower. She realized, okay, well, she's going to bust this Steve guy out, and they're going to go, and she's going to end this war. She's going to go kill Ares. She's a firm believer that Ares is involved with all of it. So she goes, and she's going to steal a bunch of the artifacts that her mom had shown her. There's the sword, which she thinks is the god killer, and there's a shield, whatever. But they're all up in this tower. And she runs, and she jumps on this tower. She grabs a hold of a brick, and first, she thought that was an amazing feat, because she jumped over this humongous chasm. All of a sudden, the brick breaks. She's sliding down the side of this thing, and then she just plunges her hand right into the brick. And she seems shocked by that for literally 2 seconds. And she's like, oh, cool. And then she just climbs her way up by shoving her hand into the bricks. I don't know about you, man. If I woke up one day and realized that I had super strength enough to just plunge my hand into brick, I'd be shocked for a little bit more than 2 seconds.
Hey, me too. I absolutely would be. Had a lot of fun, though.
Yeah. So she gets up into the tower, takes the sword, she finds armor, which is their typical Wonder Woman armor. I believe she grabs the lasso. And then she takes Steve, and they're going to go, it's nighttime, under cover of night, they're going to go hop on this boat and leave. But they get stopped by the Queen. And the Queen essentially says, listen, I can't stop you. You're going to go one way or the other. And then gives her, I believe, I don't think she gave her the whole thing, but she gave her part of the general's crown, little head circlet thing, right? Is that what that was?
Yeah, I think that was the little circlet thing they gave her. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that was from the general that had died. I think.
Yeah, I don't think it was a part of the armor set originally. I think it was hers.
Right. All right, so then they're on this boat. Now here comes some more awkward thing about sleeping together. And Diana knows about that, but is naive to the fact, I guess. The whole movie, this whole part of the movie is just all about how naive Diana is. But yet knowledgeable. Like, there's a difference.
Yeah, like, she knows everything. Like, you know, she knows a bunch of languages. She speaks, I think, all... She says she speaks all man's language. She's learned all these things, but doesn't really know how the world works.
Right. So, they get to... Where are they? They go to England, right? England was their next stop.
Yep. Good old London, England.
And then, once they get into England, they realize, okay, she does not fit in the way she is right now. So they meet up. Is this before or after they dropped off the note? They meet up with, like, the secretary lady first, right?
Yeah, his secretary, because he needs to get her some clothes.
Yeah. So they meet up with the secretary lady, I really liked this character. And then they go shopping. Essentially, you see Diana. She's trying on a bunch of dresses. She's commenting on how women can possibly fight in these things. And the secretary the whole time's like, we fight with our words, blah, blah, blah. And finally, they get one that works. And Diana's just literally carrying a sword and a shield through this clothing depot, trying to go out a door. And then, I don't know how that didn't turn more heads than it did. Like, you see a bunch of people walking by her, and no one's paying her any mind. She's carrying a sword and a shield. That, you know, that drove me a little bonkers. In fact, one person literally just walked by her to walk through the little rotating door. Like, cut her off. It was just like, are you not paying any attention to this lady with the giant sword?
Yeah.
For no reason.
It was pretty funny. But then she's also standing in front of the door trying to figure out how to walk through it with the sword. I love that too. She's just like she keeps trying these different ways. It's like, nope.
Yep.
Nope. Nope.
So then they got to bring, Steve has to bring this notebook that he stole from Dr. Poison to his superiors. And on the way there, he realizes, because he's a spy, that he's being watched. And then he meets up with some other people in an alley who want to kill him. And then this is where we find out Diana essentially is faster than bullets and can deflect them with her bracelets. And she pretty much single-handedly mops the floor with like five people. And then hands her shield and sword over to the secretary, who then just clumsily tries to hold onto them and carries them away. What was next? Then they actually made it to the... They were having like a big meeting that she wasn't supposed to be part of or even in the room at the time. Right?
Uh-huh.
And that's where you meet... I believe Sir Patrick Morgan, who was trying to negotiate an armistice with Germany. So they're essentially trying to end the world and come to some sort of deal. She gets kicked out. And, like, there's a big ruckus about, oh, there's a woman in here, blah, blah, blah. But Dr. Patrick, you know, Sir Patrick Morgan comes out later on and introduces himself to Diana and to Steve and says, hey, it's no problem. People quieted down long enough for me to get my point across. And then they all start talking about this notebook. And they have a bunch of people trying to translate it, and they can't figure out what it says because it's a mixture of two different languages.
Mm-hmm.
And Diana instantly tells them it's this language, and she can read it, so she translates it to reveal that the Germans plan to release some form of a deadly gas right at the war front.
A deadlier form of mustard gas.
Right. And then Steve's commanders completely, straight off the bat, forbid him to act on this. Because Steve was all like, hey, we gotta go there. We need to stop this from happening. Because he's the only one who's actually seen these facilities. He knows to what degree they're actually, like, making this crap. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then Sir Patrick says, I completely agree, and then secretly funds him to go on this excursion. So then we get to go through the whole, hey, you need a team, so assemble your team. And then he goes to the bar, and what type of team members would you find at a bar other than the rowdy ones?
Yep.
So you get Samir, who was
a fellow spy.
A spy, yep.
He was an actor, but he couldn't be an actor.
Right. And then you get Charlie, who's the marksman.
Who's getting his ass kicked. And they're like, oh, yeah, hey, that's Charlie. Charlie's good with his hands.
Yeah.
That's not Charlie.
And then we get, oh, we don't meet Chief then. But Diana does whoop some dude's ass. Throws him clean across the bar. And then we end up do the last member of their quote-unquote group is Chief, who is essentially just a smuggler. Now, I'm conflicted. Like, Diana wants to help everybody. That, they made that very evident when they're walking on the docks there, and she's seeing all these people going the opposite direction who are being pushed in wheelchairs, they're bleeding, and so on and so forth. She wants to stop and help everybody, and Steve and the rest of her party keeps trying to tell her, you can't, you know, we gotta go and do this one thing. But at the same time, isn't she so, like, focused on Ares? Like, the longer Ares is out, the longer the war is going to go, and the more people are going to be hurt. So, why? I don't understand her point of view. Like, yeah, I would want to help people too, but only more people are going to get hurt if she doesn't go to her objective. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I absolutely get it. I think she even says it at one point. I think she's basically, what's the point of saving the world? There's nothing to save, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of a deal. So, I mean, she's definitely all about saving people. She's also really driven towards, you know, Ares. But I think at one point, you know, she's kind of trusting Steve in that, oh, we need this to happen. Because up to this point, he's still telling her, oh, I'm taking you to the front lines, you know? So she's like, oh, well, we need to get the front lines. This has to happen.
All right.
You know? So.
Now, so she kind of follows Steve's mentality up to this point of that until they reach, where is it? The Western Front in Belgium. They're halted by enemy lines. They're in the trenches, essentially. And she's trying to help people, and Steve keeps ushering her forward, saying, we gotta go, we gotta go. And then Diana finally, you get the Wonder Woman scene, you know, because up to this point, she's still wearing a coat. She's still somewhat blending in. She's wearing her Wonder Woman armor underneath. And then finally, she has a conversation with a lady in the trenches about this section of land called No Man's Land. They call it this because they've held it for X amount of time and neither side has given. They can't seem to gain an inch on the Germans at all. So Diana just takes off her coat, climbs up the ladder, and just walks into No Man's Land. They throw mortars at her. She deflects them with her shield. They start
machine gunning,
shooting machine guns, and she's deflecting them with her shield and her bracers. And then Steve realizes, hey, once these Germans decide to all focus fire solely on her, the rest of the troops could just run up and start clearing house because they're not going to start stop shooting at her. You know what I mean? They're not going to just start shooting at everybody else because she's the main threat. It's just this woman who's just not stopping. And she's like literally like the Terminator. And so ultimately it pays off and they end up saving, they end up pushing through the German forces into a village, the village of Veld. And then there's a couple cool things that happened in this village. One thing I thought was really neat was while Steve was on the beach originally in Themyscira, he was seeing all these Amazons fight. And there was a scene where I believe it was the general, the one who passed away, called for one of her Amazons for a shield, and they just knelt down and lifted their shield up, and she essentially jumped off the shield and was pushed up into the air by the other Amazon, flung up over a rock, and shot three arrows into three different soldiers, killed them. Well, there is a scene where there is a sniper in the top of a church. I believe it was a church. And Charlie, we'll just say Charlie didn't have a shot. And so this tank that Diana had dismantled, there was pieces of it on the ground, and Steve had this idea that if all of them lifted up this big, heavy plate and then put it on them on their backs like turtles and then got down, and then he yelled shield to Diana, she ran and jumped off this plate. They propelled her up into the church.
Yeah.
She leveled the top of this church.
She did, and he had seen that. You know, he saw that when he saw the Amazons fighting on the island.
Right. I thought that was really neat. I did not think that was going to level the entirety of the top of that church. but she took it out. I definitely thought this village scene was one of the coolest scenes.
It absolutely was. It was probably my favorite fight scene in the whole movie. And the whole, just the whole, from beginning to end.
Like, the whole scene of her going up out of the trenches into no man's land, like, the whole slow-mo walk and deflecting bullets and stuff, that was great. Very empowering scene that's, like, a good ramp-up to this whole village section. But, like, the second she runs off and she goes into, you know, through a window, and then they start doing that 300-esque style fight scenes where, like, actions slow down and then speed back up. I thought that was awesome. That was hands down, yeah, like, this whole village thing was definitely my favorite time. And then, little known fact, once they actually defeated the village and freed, you know, the villagers from the presence of the Germans, the photograph that was sent to her was the one that was taken in this village. That's also where we found out that evening, because they were taking a little bit of rest from their victory, Charlie can sing. That's his dream. He's a singer. He loves playing the piano and singing. And then Steve and Diana knock boots, essentially. At least that's, again, what they allude to.
Yep, they get intimate.
The next day, there's a big gala, like a big party or whatever the fuck. What technically is a gala? What constitutes a gala? You know?
It's a masquerade without a mask.
A masquerade without a mask.
Yes.
Okay, so technically the definition for gala is a social occasion with special entertainments or performances. Okay, fair enough. So they find out that there's going to be a gala held at a nearby German high command, figuring this might be the best case to see Dr. Poison and this Ludendorff fella. They all decide to go. They make it there. They have no idea how they're going to get in. Diana just wants to go in. And so Steve and Samir end up posing as a German and the chauffeur. And Diana goes off by herself, mugs some lady for her dress. Is that what happened? They never showed what happened.
That's essentially what happened. She stopped her. The lady was wearing the dress, and the next scene, Diana's wearing the dress.
Yeah, so Wonder Woman in the back, so essentially mugs a lady for her dress.
She's kind of a bitch, not gonna lie. The lady was kind of a bitch.
It's really fucked up. Like, I don't know if any other, if many people really pick up on that. Like, we don't see if there was a monetary interaction. Now there's some lady out there who's presumably either naked or wearing whatever it was that Diana was wearing, which is Wonder Woman's armor. She's not wearing the armor underneath that dress. And if she took the armor off prior, does that mean that she's just wearing the coat that Diana was wearing over the armor? It's really fucked up. They could have at least shed a little bit of light on this instead of just us leading to believe that Wonder Woman's a thief.
It's a deleted scene. It'll be in the DVD.
I guess so. In any case, she had every intention of going in and killing Ludendorff right then and there, because she now has it in her head that Ludendorff is Ares. Steve stops her in time after a little bit of flirting with Professor Poison or Dr. Poison. Ends up stopping her, and then Ludendorff walks off, has this big plan for some entertainment / showboating for his new gas, and they launch some of the gas onto Veld, which must have been a somewhat close by town, I'm guessing. Diana ran there on horseback. Steve rode a motorcycle there. But apparently Diana immune to this gas. She walked right in to this town while it was gassed, saw all the occupants dead. So she's immune to this mustard gas. I wonder why. Why do you think she's immune to mustard gas? She breathes, right?
She does, but
so it's, she's immune. You know, so she's immune to poison and gas.
That superhuman durability, yeah, she is. Hmm. Kind of the same way Superman is. Or she could have just been holding her breath for a long time. That's a thing.
Yeah, I guess. But in any case, Steve shows up. Diana blames him for intervening in the whole thing in general, because she could have stopped Ludendorff from doing this just by killing him, figuring he was Ares. Now they end up getting, I forget where they get the intel next, but they end up figuring out that there is a whole warehouse or a whole manufacturing plant, I guess, or something. Fuck, man, now I'm having a hard time remembering how they got from that to this next scene. Like, what news there was. I guess it was just, hey, she's gonna go kill Ares. Okay, well, he's gonna be here. Because Ludendorff would go to his military base where they were holding all the gas.
Yeah, Ludendorff, you know, after she blames him, she hops on the motorcycle. Oh, no, she runs off.
Yeah, she's on the horse.
She's on the horse. She grabs the horse and she rides the horse off into chasing him, Ludendorff, because when he bombed the village, he headed towards the base.
The base, all right.
So, yeah, so she bounded off towards him, and that's when she got there.
Oh, no. Fucking the Indian dude, Chief, was doing smoke signals.
Yeah, he was doing smoke signals, which alerted them.
Yeah,
and then
Steve told her
she,
to just follow the smoke.
Yeah. So she followed the smoke. There you go. Got there. And then when she got there, that's when, you know, she found Ludendorff. And that's when she started fighting. They fought Ludendorff.
Yeah. And dude, Ludendorff took off. He took his PCP drugs. And he was, like, super durable and shit.
And it was a pretty interesting fight for a period of time.
For, like, 2 minutes.
For a period of time, things were good. For a time, things were good.
That fight did not last. For him to be like superhuman strong and whatever, taking his drugs, that was a very underwhelming fight between those two. Like, I think he threw her once and it got kind of sketchy, but then she ended up stabbing him.
Skill trumps strength.
I mean, yeah, I guess. But
yeah, she killed him. She killed Ares. Or so she thought.
So she thought.
She killed Ares.
And Steve, at this point, Steve and the rest of the crew shows up and sees the bomber now. This massive fucking plane full of this gas.
Yeah, it's comically big.
Yeah, it's dumb. And So they figure, okay, they're going to come up with a plan to try to, you know, go and figure this out. And Steve, you know, runs and checks on Diana. And Diana's confused because she just killed Ares. And yet nothing's changed. The war's not changed. The war hasn't stopped. People are still fighting around her everywhere. So she's very confused. And Steve's just like, all right, well, I'm sorry to tell you this is that I told you so moment, but I told you so. And I gotta go stop a plane now. And then he runs off and goes to try to stop this plane. And that's when Diana sees Sir Patrick Morgan from earlier. And it reveals that he's Ares. She sees him in a reflection. She sees him inside the tower. And then once she goes inside, he's then outside. And he, like, toys with her for a little while. And then she swings this god killer at him. And he's the whole time he's trying to, explain to her how her view of him is wrong. And how he's not the god of war. He's the god of truth.
Was it truth or was it suggestion?
I think it was the god of truth. I don't remember now. In any case, she tries to fucking murk him with this god killer, and he just grabs it. Like, he holds out his hand, and the sword just begins shattering before it even gets to him. And then, was it him? He ends up telling her that she's the god killer, not the sword.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big revelation.
She's Zeus's daughter. She's the god killer and Zeus's daughter. That is the big revelation.
Right. And then the whole time he's talking to her, he's just trying to tell her that he didn't force humanity to fight each other. He merely gave them ideas and inspirations, and it was ultimately our decision to use these things violently against one another for power, for various reasons. And that humans are inherently corrupt. So he tries to persuade her to destroy mankind. And he shows her this vision of paradise. And that with her help, they could restore the earth to that paradise. And then she says she can't, and then they fight. While they're fighting and blowing up towers and fucking up an entire military base, like, really bad, Steve and his team go and want to destroy Dr. Poison's lab and stop this plane. And so Steve says, hey, if we can get this plane high enough, you just detonate it up in the air. No one has to get hurt. Well, except for the pilot, obviously. But it's not going to crash land, you know, or drop any of this shit in anywhere else. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I forget what it was, but what was the explosion? What blew up that caused, like, the ear ringing and stuff that we didn't get to hear that part of the dialogue until after between Diana and Steve?
I think, did Ares knock a tank into her and exploded?
Oh, maybe. Something blew up, like, right in her face. And
yeah, I was either he threw a tank at her or he threw a tank shell or something at her.
Yeah. In any case, Ares is pretty badass in this scene. I'm not going to lie, I like the actor. I did not like the actor they chose for Ares.
Yeah,
I at least not while he was Ares.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. If he was going to be the guy, the actor who plays him as Sir Patrick Morgan, Cool. But then once he goes Aries, dude, become Aries. Become a whole different look. Be this big
boy. I would have been okay with CG in that, at that moment.
Yes.
Like, full CG. I would have been fine with it.
But instead, you get the guy who plays Sir Patrick Morgan, which I don't even remember his name. Shit. It's David Thewlis. For those of you who don't know who he was in... He was Remus Lupin in the Harry Potter series. Okay? In any case, instead of having CGI Ares, this guy is like... He forms like this shrapnel armor.
Yep.
And he can make weapons out of essentially just any type of metal around him. And then his visor is an open face helmet where you can still see his like stupid mustached face.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so dumb.
It
is. It's just like, wow, you do not look overly imposing inside that really hellish armor with that really dumb mustache.
Yeah, it didn't work.
But in any case, Steve pretty much tells Diana, hey, here's my dad's pocket watch. I'm going to go stop, you know, this plane from taking, you know, from killing a bunch of people. You do you. And then he takes off. And the whole time Steve is flying up, Diana's like, no, don't do that. And then Dr. Poison's there, and Ares is trying to get her to drop a tank on her. And then shit happens. There's a big fight. It ends up... I don't remember even how that fight ends.
He tries to get her to convince... he tries to get her to kill Dr. Poison. That's basically when she unlocks her true god powers.
Yeah.
And then proceeds to beat his ass.
Yep. And, like... So he, like, channels lightning from the sky to, like, empower some of his stuff. She does the same exact thing. And then completely just tears him apart. And essentially kills Ares. Again... In my opinion, yeah, the fight was cool. The CGI was kind of neat. I did not like the mustached face of the actor inside the Ares helmet.
Mm-mm.
And I thought the ending result was kind of anticlimactic, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I thought, and I guess for the plot, for the story that they were telling, it made sense, I suppose, but I think it's the dumbest fucking ending. So she kills Ares. Steve blows up in the sky.
Or at least seemingly kills Ares.
Seemingly kills Ares. Steve blows up in the sky. Everybody's safe. All of a sudden, these Germans who were wearing gas masks stop fighting each other. Stop fighting against the squad, the team, you know, Steve's team, everybody, they just take their gas masks off. They're looking at the sunrise. And one of the Germans and Chief hug. And, like, they're helping each other up. And it's like, huh. So she killed Ares and now everybody loves each other. Stupid.
Yeah, that was a little dumb. I get behind it. Like, the only reason why they were even fighting was because of that. I get it.
Right.
But at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, so, no, I absolutely get it.
Then you essentially get, after the war, they're all back in London, I think, maybe. Or Paris. Mm-hmm. I don't remember now. But she sees up on a big board, you know, Fallen Heroes or whatever, and she sees a picture of Steve. Everybody's celebrating the end of the war. And then it cuts back to present day, and Diana sends an email to Bruce Wayne thanking him for the photograph. And reaffirms that she's going to protect, do what she has to protect the world as Wonder Woman, essentially. That's essentially the end of the movie. They don't do end scene like credit teasers or anything like that. So that was the movie. All in all, good movie. I still very much liked the movie. I thought it was very entertaining. I thought it was well done. I really, really, I can't say this enough. From the trench moment to the point where they saved that town was hands down my favorite part of that movie.
Yes.
Some of the shit before that, it's like, okay, I could do without a couple of these things, but it was all right. It kept my attention the whole time. Some of the shit afterwards got kind of wonky, like we said, the fight with Ares. Ares being that actor, and they don't change him when he actually turns into Ares. But all in all, I gave it on a scale from 1 to 10, an 8.
I'm pretty much sure. I'm at 8.5.
Yeah.
I'm at 8.5. Honestly, it would have easily been a 9 for me, if not more. If literally, you know, when I think Ares, I think he is the, you know, God of War. It's not even just a look thing per se, but I think God of War, you know, God of all master, you know, God of all types of arms, all, you know, everything, right? That's what I picture. I would have loved it to just have been between those two, a gladiatorial style sword fight.
Yeah.
If it just came down to that.
Yep.
And then she just bet, like, she was struggling at first because he's Ares. He's mastered all forms of combat. Everything she does, he one-ups her. You know, she's barely holding on. And then, you know, same thing happens, but she just, you know, she snaps back. She, you know, she kind of unlocks her full, like, he breaks her sword, does the whole same kind of conversation mid-fight, breaks her sword, tells her, you know, you were always the one. And then, you know, that eventually, you know, then it leads her to, you know, kill her and become, you know, kill her and join me. And then, you know, she awakens, and then, you know, it becomes a sword fight, an actual sword fight. You know, she awakens, he makes like maybe like a spear out of a spear or a sword out of scrap and throws it at her. She grabs it out of air and then kills him. You know, that would be so much, that would have been a better scenario.
Right.
In that situation, because it would have been like, oh, you know, he is Ares. You know, he's mastered every form of combat known to man because he's invented it.
I would have even been okay with, like you said, he broke her sword. Like, he's making all this weaponry out of scrap, you know. I would have been okay with once she, quote-unquote, awakened her true powers or whatever. Okay, yeah. Do the whole thing of you're the daughter of Zeus, channel that lightning, and then all of a sudden now that lightning forms a weapon, a tangible weapon, where she then can get into another fight, a sword fight or a spear fight or whatever with Ares, and then have it where, you know, the whole time Ares was pretty much whooping her ass, now the fight's turned, and it's still, like you said, the gladiatorial combat style, and they're fighting, and she's now having the upper hand on him. You know, I would have been even okay with that. You know, lightning sword, bam.
Yep. Or if they could even went like lightning whip. You know, she could have grabbed, hit him with the whip and the whip starts glowing.
Yep.
And having like a lightning effect down it. And she, you know.
Yep.
And she, you know, she pulls him towards her and then literally just starts beating his ass.
So.
And like every time she hits him, like his scrap armor is like breaking apart, you know, like breaking apart. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be great.
So, like, as the listeners know, anytime we do these reviews, we break them down. It's essentially not only just is it a review of the movie, it's a breakdown, an entire breakdown of the movie we just did. And if you've listened to any of them before, you know that there's not a movie out there that I can't find, especially a comic book movie, that I can't find something wrong. Now, yes, we're saying some of our gripes about Wonder Woman, essentially that last fight and so on and so forth, and what things that we feel they could have done better. By no means am I saying that the movie was bad. because they didn't do these things. Again, if it was bad, I would not have graded it an 8 on a scale from 1 to 10. I would not consider it my number 2 overall DC favorite DC movie. And one of the real reasons why it's not number 1 is because it's right behind The Dark Knight for me, and the reason that The Dark Knight is in the number 1 slot is solely because of the Joker. Heath Ledger's Joker was fucking phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, DC's going to be very hard pressed to push a movie out now that I feel can top that.
But Webby, Suicide Squad.
Jared Leto sucks as a Joker. Fuck that Joker.
No, you're right the first time. Fuck that Jared Leto.
Yeah, fuck that Jared Leto. That Harley Quinn, though.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Fuck that Harley Quinn.
Yes, please. We're getting off topic now. But in any case, overall, you gave it an 8, 8.5. I gave it an 8. Good movie. I highly recommend everybody to go out and watch it. It is definitely worth a watch. Once it comes, you know, around to Netflix or whatever, I'll definitely rewatch it. It's not a one and done film for me.
No, it's not.
I definitely will rewatch it.
Best way to put it for in terms of value, it's an 8 out of 10. 8.5 out of 10 overall. But 10 out of 10 worth the money. You know?
Yeah.
You won't be disappointed if you watch it.
I will say Gal Gadot, I think, made a phenomenal Wonder Woman.
Yeah, she did fine.
And I saw a picture online that I think couldn't have been truer, in my opinion. I think Wonder Woman is going to carry the Justice League movie.
Mm-hmm. She has to.
Now, some people, you know, a lot of people are out there giving Ben Affleck shit about being Batman. I don't mind him. I think he's a good choice for a Batman. Again, haven't really got to see him too much. We haven't got to see him in his own Batman movie yet. We've only got to see him in that other piece of shit movie. But in my opinion, based off of how big of a pile of shit that other movie was, he was one of the redeeming qualities of that movie.
That's true.
That's not necessarily saying much.
It's not
because
of what that movie
was as a whole.
Yeah. To give you an idea of where the Batman movie's headed, though, you know, the script that he wrote, that Ben Affleck wrote, apparently the director threw it out. So I don't know what that says, is that good or bad, but make of that what you will.
Well, again, I think Wonder Woman's got a lot to pull if she's going to try to keep this Justice League movie afloat.
Mm-hmm. Luckily for her, she's got the strength to do it.
It's true. So on that note, we're going to end this podcast here. Devin, where can people find you?
They can find me at DRO3092.
And you guys can follow me on Twitter at JaxForestWalker, all one word, or on Instagram at something, I don't know, search for my name. It should be like Patrick.Webster52. I don't know, something. Anyway, you can check out everything else we do at distractionsmedia.com. We have a Patreon at fucking patreon.com/distractionsmedia, maybe. I think. Sounds right. Fuck, what do I know? I don't know what all this shit is. This is why we're simply unprofessional. I don't have this shit written down like goddamn professional, Devin. Fuck. What am I missing? I feel like I'm missing so much. You know what? Fuck it. Till next time. Hashtag fuck booster gold.
Hashtag fuck booster gold and hashtag fuck Aries mustache.
Yeah, fuck Aries mustache. You know what? Fuck it. Kurt, I know you're listening. I want you to superimpose Aries mustache onto
booster gold.
I want to see this. Please. All right. Till next time, folks.
Peace.